You rejoicing in the Lord today? That was a question. Are you rejoicing in the Lord today? Let the church say so. Let the church say so again. Do we have a reason to rejoice in the Lord today? December has rolled around. And for the rest of this month, whatever Sundays I'll be speaking, we'll be talking around the theme of Christmas. So that's what we're going to do. Amen. It is the reason for the season. And after all of the ups and downs of this world, it's a good thing. Talk about old Jesus. Today's message is entitled "The Timeless Gifts from God." The Timeless Gifts from God. We'll be looking in Matthew chapters 1 and 2, and a few other verses that we'll talk about in a moment. I always have some fun with this time of year. A lot of things go on, and it make me laugh, because I always got in trouble. I always did. But I have some timeless memories. And in our message today, the timeless gifts from God. On Christmas Eve, many families — now, we didn't have one like this when we were growing up, but many families have a tradition of, on Christmas Eve, they open one gift. And I'm quite sure that the children would look for the biggest and the heaviest one to go and open. But as you get older and more mature, the more mature adults may decide to look for some other timeless gift, something that would create in them more lasting and touching memories. And as we see from this message today, that God has some gifts for us to open. These timeless gifts to bring us eternal joy this Christmas season, and forever, and forever. Our message is entitled "Timeless Gifts from God." The first gift is the gift of God's Son. We're looking in Matthew 1 and 2. In chapter 1, it's 18 through 24. And in Matthew chapter 2 is verses 1 through 6, technically 2 through 6. And then John 3, 16. In the second gift that we've selected, it's the gift of grace, God's gift of grace, a timeless gift of grace. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. And Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. And then another timeless gift in our third point, the gift of eternal life. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Then John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 3, the gift of eternal life. And finally, in our fourth timeless gift, our fourth point, the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, God has many gifts, but we don't have all day to preach about all his gifts. Amen. Because y'all want to go home. And so do I. But until that time, I got four of them to give you. The gift of the Holy Spirit is John chapter 4 and verse 10 and Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Our first point is the gift of God's Son. Now, like I say, I got in trouble most of the time around Christmas season because I was sneaky and I was curious and I was somewhat inventive in my schemes, if you will. But I have many timeless memories, some of which I regret having gotten in trouble with. But that's for another day. But there was a time after my mother had passed, and we would go to my father's house in North Carolina. You walk in the door, and there was no Christmas. My mom used to decorate and do things like that, but now we go in the house, and there'd be no tree. There were no decorations that looked like Christmas. But my dad, being a very inventive man, he would say, "Hold on." And he would go to the closet with all the coats in it. And he would open the door. And he'd grab the rug. And he would pull the tree out the closet, already decorated with the tinsel and the ornaments, and he would take it and plug it in. Instant Christmas. That's one of my timeless memories of Christmas. And our Heavenly Father, he pulled a similar stunt because out of the closet of the Old Testament, he revealed the birth of his Son through the Old Testament prophecies. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was a completion, a focal point, a finishing touch on God's plan that had been promised in the Old Testament. Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign," the Bible says. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And it continues on and says, "And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And then Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 tells us about the birth of Jesus, the Son of God, will be in Bethlehem. "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler in Israel." Yes, God loved us so much so that he loved us before we were born. The Bible tells us that God loved this world so much that he gave, as a gift, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God's plan of redemption, to redeem us, was made before the foundation of the world. And to receive this special gift from God, listen, we must have that very special promised one as our personal savior. God placed it into the mind of Caesar Augustus to take a census at just the right time, when Mary was about 9 months pregnant. God also had Mary and Joseph to be descendants of King David, whose city was in Bethlehem. And so in order to get the proper account for the census, they had to go back to the hometown, which was Bethlehem. See, everything was working according to God's perfect plan, his sovereign decree. Galatians chapter 4 helps us to understand that, for it says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, not a woman and a man. No, it was just a woman. You remember a virgin who did not have the seed of Adam that would have come from Joseph? Born of a woman, born under the law. The first gift, the first timeless gift that we'll talk about today is the gift of God's Son. Look at Matthew chapter 1, verses 18. Luke 24, it says, now, the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, remember she's a virgin, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. If you go to Luke, it talks about how the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. And Jesus was placed in Mary in whatever way that happened. I wasn't there. I don't need to know. I just know I'm glad it did. Next verse. Then Joseph, her husband. See, she didn't tell Joseph the story because I don't think most men would have believed it. Then Joseph, her husband. Now, the word husband here means he was betrothed to her. That was a year-long engagement for us today. But it was a betrothal. So she was, although they were not living in the same house, it was of the same manner of being married in that there was nobody else, just those two. It says that being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, because she could have been put to death for having committed fornication, had that been the case, was minded to put her away secretly. He didn't want to embarrass her publicly. Next verse. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David. I told you he was kin to David. Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Watch this. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Well, now we've had two prophets come through already. Look at this. Verse 23. This was done. Behold, a virgin. Didn't I read that before? From Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. God with us, which is a requirement. Because us folk were sinners. We can't pay for our sins. But God, who is holy, whose deity, when God puts on the clothing of man, he becomes capable of dying in our place. Next verse. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took to him his wife. So that's how they ended up being ready to go down to Bethlehem for the census that the emperor had set up. You see, Matthew chapter 2 breaks it down with our next portion of this story. Look at Matthew chapter 2, and we'll start at verse 2. Now, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? The Magi had come, for we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. They don't know where he is exactly. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled because he thought he was the king of the Jews and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. But God already has it in his Old Testament closet, ready to pull that one out. Look at verse 5. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is written by what? The prophet. Next verse. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd, the great shepherd Jesus, my people Israel. See, that baby that was lying in the manger, in the most humblest of surroundings, from all the outward appearances, you might think, like, this gift must be some of kind of a disappointment. He didn't come in a limousine. He didn't come in a helicopter. He didn't come with pomp and circumstances. He was in a feeding trough for some animals. But when you realize just how important the birth of Jesus really was, and the sacrifice that God has ready made by having his son Jesus step out of eternity to be enclosed in flesh, to become God with us, in a dirty, unholy place like earth, in an animal's feeding trough. That's where his son was. Oh, that's a gift. That's a real gift. That's called grace. That's stooping down to help someone who is in need. And man, we were in need. It becomes the most precious gift, this gift of God's Son. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave, that's a gift, his only begotten Son. And this astonishing truth was told to Nicodemus by Jesus as he unfolded those heavenly truths to this synagogue leader who had snuck up to find where Jesus was by night. And Jesus had to explain to him, son, you just need to be born again. You don't seem to understand. And he began to explain that he had to be the kinsman redeemer and that it took faith in Christ to become born again. He explained that when Moses lifted up the brass serpent on the pole in the wilderness, to heal all who believe, that it was a type of himself. If you remember the story, the people were complaining and grumbling, and God sent some serpents, some snakes to come and bite them, and they were dying, and they were crying out. And Moses went to the Lord, help, do something, don't do this. You brought them out of Egypt, don't kill them all now. And so God told Moses, get yourself a brazen serpent, put it on a pole for them rascals who are complaining and grumbling after all I've done for them. Here's the deal. Those that look up at that brazen serpent and believe, because I said, if you look up, you'll live. Those that look up, who believe my word, they will be healed. They will not die. But those who refuse to listen to my word, those bites are going to be the death of them. Jesus said that brazen serpent, what he meant by this discussion with him, this illustration with Nicodemus, was that this was a type of Christ, which brings us to what that verse in John 3:16, where he explained, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. All who believed in him would be declared righteous, and they would live eternally. God gave us his son, this wonderful gift, this priceless gift, not just a baby in a manger, but a savior, which takes us to our next point, the grace of God, the gift of grace. What a timeless gift of grace, God's gift of grace. Ephesians chapter 2 and Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 2, if you will. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. What does it say? It is the what? The gift of God. Grace is a gift of God. How many of you are like me? You're not very good at picking out the best gifts for your special somebody. Get in trouble. Well, if I get a gift card, I might be all right. I remember at the time in my house, it was one man, one boy, and one wife and mother. And that was a gift that I brought home. It was a robe. And it was not a manly robe. It was not a manly looking robe. It was a female looking robe. And as it was presented, the woman in the house said, who's that for? I wish I had gift cards back then. But see, the thing about gift card is I can buy my own gift card. I mean, I can buy a $100 gift card to whatever restaurant I want. All right? And I can eat it. But I gotta pay for it. But a gift card to someone else, they don't have to pay for it. They get to enjoy eating whatever they want with that $100 gift card. But if I try and buy a gift card for salvation, I don't have enough. I don't have enough. For the wages of sin is death. That means I'll be paying for it forever. Don't believe me? Death and hell will be thrown into the lake of fire along with me had I not accepted Christ. Death stays forever. Can't get rid of it. But Jesus, because he was the Son of God, who was holy, He was able to finish paying for the death that he'd experienced. How do I know that? Because he rose from the dead. That was the receipt that proved that he had finished paying for all of our sins. When you get a gift card, the back of it may say, oh, you can use this card for a long time. There's no expiration date on this card. And that's what Jesus has for us. But if I had a gift card that I purchased, it ain't no good. That's why we have to have this gift of grace. God's grace is not something that we can earn. You can try and jump to the moon like Max Lucado said, but no matter how high you jump, you're going to still fall short. And that's what happens. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's grace is not something that we deserve. If we got what we would deserve, it would be the death penalty. But Jesus Christ, he stepped in. And at great expense to himself and to his Father, he has given us what we don't deserve. He's given us God's grace. It's simply given to us. It's a gift. It's a gift from God to those who would receive it. To those who would receive it. God's riches at Christ's expense is what it is. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17 says this: come, whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, means you have to make a choice, you understand? Let him take the free gift of the water of life. The word charisma in the Greek has the meaning of a gift of grace. And that's the word that's used to define salvation. You find this in Romans 5 and 15 and 16, as well as in Romans 6 and 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift, the charisma of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word that's used many times with salvation, because remember, salvation is like a diamond. It has different facets to it, depending on what you're looking at. You've got justification, you've got sanctification, you've got glorification. Depends on which area you're looking at. It's still salvation, just different ways of expressing it or looking at it. Romans chapter 5, if you will, verses 15 through 17. Look about this free gift. Let's look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 15. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. I'm going to have to break this down just a little bit. All right. This is coming from Paul's comparison, if you will, the Apostle Paul's comparison about Adam, the first Adam, and Jesus, the second Adam, where it says, for if by the one man's offense, that's Adam, many die. In Paul's comparison, he's looking at the impact of Adam's sin on mankind and the impact of the grace of God, the gift of grace, through Jesus Christ for man on the other side. See, the gift that Adam gave, and he gave us a gift, but his gift stunk. If someone gave you a skunk for a pet, would you take it? Because it stinks. That's what Adam gave us, a stinky gift. It stays forever. I remember smelling a skunk one time, and my grandfather told me, you make sure you don't let him spray on you, because you are going to smell forever. It's a terrible, nasty smell, and it stays and it stays on you. A shower ain't gonna do it. Yeah, you're gonna have to get cleaned up. But there is no shower that we can take because of sin. It lasts forever. And the result of sin is death. And we are under the wrath of God because of it. And here he's saying, if by the one man's offense many died, then much more, much better, immensely better is the grace of God and the gift of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, because it abounded to many. Whereas Adam's stinky gift was just stinky and unwanted. A gift you don't want, but you got it anyway because you kin to Adam. He's saying, oh, so much more abounding in grace is this gift that I'm talking about that comes from grace through Jesus Christ. Next verse. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. Oh, no, 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 no. For the judgment which came from the one offense of Adam, look what it did. It resulted in condemnation. Oh, but the free gift which came from the many offenses of Jesus Christ. The many offenses here is Jesus' work on the cross resulted in what? Justification, another facet on that diamond called salvation. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned through one man, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus. When we accept the gift of Christ, we receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If we believe, I don't have to worry about Adam's stinky sin. I got on a coat of righteousness that belongs to Jesus Christ, and in him there is no sin. He is holy. And when God looks at us who have received Jesus Christ, he sees the righteousness of his son. We stand in a righteous standing with God. Oh, how I love this timeless gift of grace, for it will last forever. I cannot lose my salvation. I cannot lose my salvation. Obviously, if something is a gift of grace, it cannot be earned. It can't be earned. To work for something is to deserve it. And that would produce an obligation, a gift of debt. That which works will be destroyed. Works destroy grace. Oh, I'm working for my salvation. What do you mean? I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But son, that ain't grace. You're still on your way to a Christless hell unless you try the gift of grace. Oh, that wonderful gift of grace, which takes us to our next point, the gift of eternal life. Look what Romans 6 and verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin," that which we earn, that which is earned from sin, "is death." But look, the what? Is what? Oh my goodness. We got the gift of his son. We got the gift of grace. And now we got the gift of God, that is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord, the gift of eternal life. You know, it's rather interesting to me, if you think about it, that eternal life itself is everlasting. Eternal life is everlasting. Talk about being timeless. Talk about a timeless gift. If you get saved, you get eternal life, and it's going to last in a timeless fashion. And when it comes to the gift of the Son, Jesus says this in John 3 and verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son has, not will have, has everlasting life." J. Vernon McGee points out in John 17, the great priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus to his Father concerning this gift. John 17, verse 1 says this. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glory you." But look at verse 2. "As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should do what?" Give what? Another gift. Another timely gift. That he should give eternal life. To what? To as many as you have given him. I'm so glad that God had foreordained that Dwayne Kasen was going to be saved. I was on that list of people who be given to Jesus. Now, he's talking here about his disciples, but I believe my name was on the list somewhere down, way down the list. But I was up there. I didn't deserve to be up there. Oh, but I'm on that list. Amen. And as we may point out here, that Jesus further described this life to a T, just a little further. Look at verse 3 of John 17. "And this is eternal life." Oh, he's describing it to a T, just in case we didn't get it. "That they may know you." God is looking for us to be back in the family with him, to be restored, to be redeemed. "The only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." This is eternal life, that they may know you. Just because you know Jesus' name don't mean you know God. You have to know Jesus personally as Savior in order for that to work. When we invite Jesus Christ into our hearts, he not only gives us the gift of salvation, but we are heirs, if you will, to the gift of eternity in heaven. Now, we certainly don't deserve this amazing gift, but Christ gives us this gift nonetheless because of the love of God. But that's not all. My friends, this gift of eternal life is timeless. It's a timeless gift because it's secure forever. It's secure forever. You know, if you want to activate your gift card, you got to use that number on the back, right? Okay. So I can take a gift card from Target, put it in my pocket. Let me see, this one's for Burger King, okay? Let me go to the King. Here my gift card. It don't work, sir. It's not activated. No. this is not going to work for you. No, you don't belong to the club, son. It's just a car. But Jesus in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30 said, my sheep hear my voice. I know my sheep. I know my sheep personally. They hear my voice and I know them and they shall follow me. And I give them, I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Oh, I secure. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one, and I mean no one, is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I would hate to see someone try and do that. Woo! They'd be in a different universe. No one can take this timeless gift of eternal life away from the believer who has personally and truly trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, because the hands of Jesus and the hands of the Father are deity. Jesus in verse 30 said, I and my Father are one. Which takes us to our next point. This next gift, this last gift that we're going to talk about today. The gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, can you imagine Christmas morning arrives? It's early. Parents still trying to sleep, like our parents did when we were getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning. With shouts of joy from the children filling the house. Presents being hurriedly unwrapped, electronic and battery-powered devices and toys being ripped from their packages. At least it was back in those days. Now it's hard to get into them. Being ripped from their packages and raised triumphantly in the air. Look what I got. Look what I got. You've heard it before. They're all excited. Only to be followed by the muted sounds of gloom as you hear these children bemoaning the reality that there are no batteries. There's no batteries. There's no power. They're nowhere under the tree. They're nowhere in the house. And if you live back when I was a boy, there is no 7-Eleven to go to. Back then in the city, they were open from 7 to 11. That's why it's called 7-Eleven. We had no 7-Eleven, no McDonald's, no Hardee's, no Walmart. We didn't have nothing in population 800 Winton. If you didn't have batteries, you didn't have batteries. You had no power, and how troubling and difficult it would be if we had the gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation from God, but no power and no strength along with it to live out the Christian experience here on this earth. No power to help us deal with the temptations. No power, no strength to help us carry out the great commission as servants of the Lord. There are no instructions in English to explain how to operate in this Christian journey. What are we supposed to do? Jesus has left us. He went up in the sky. We're just here. What are we going to do? Jesus told them to wait. He's coming. Oh, but praise God, he's given us a timeless gift, another one, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Will you look at with me at Acts, at John chapter 4 and verse 10? Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. Look what he says. If you knew the what? The gift of God. Now, he's not talking about himself. Because look what he says. And who it is who says to you? He's not talking about himself as the gift. He's talking about another gift. You following me? If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you this other gift. He's not talking about himself. He's talking about another gift. He would have given you living water. Guess who the living water is? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Catch it now. If you knew the gift of God, what is that gift? It can't be him, because he said he's going to give you this gift. He's not giving you himself. He's giving you a gift. He says, give me a drink. You would have asked him and he would have given you this other gift, the gift of living water. The gift of the Holy Spirit. This first mention of the gift of God is the first time in the New Testament that the gift of God rolls up on us. And it comes from the woman at Jacob's well in John chapter 4. Jesus and his disciples were on their way from Jerusalem to Galilee, and he said, let's go through Samaria. I got an appointment with a woman at the well. I need to tell her about myself so that she can tell somebody else about me. I'm going to introduce and reveal to her who I am. I'm going to be the Messiah, but she doesn't know it yet. She's in trouble. She's got a jacked up life, but I'm going to unjack that life. And I'm going to introduce her to some living water, because I'm going to tell her about me. And she's going to tell others about me. He said, if you knew the gift of God. And then to his disciples in his farewell address, his discourse with the disciples in John chapter 15 and verse 26, Jesus promised that he would send the Holy Spirit to them after his departure. In John 15 and verse 26, saying, whom I shall send to you from the Father. He identifies the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, and he will testify of me. To the woman at the well, the Holy Spirit, the living water. To his disciples, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And to his church. Now during the Jewish feast of Pentecost, after the arrival of the Holy Spirit had set upon Jesus' disciples in Acts chapter 2, Peter declared to all who were present that this event was the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of who? For the remission of sins. And guess what happens if you do that? You shall receive the what? Ah, there it is. There it is again. Another gift. Another timeless gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit. We talked about him talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit to the woman at the well, to his disciples, and to the church. The Holy Spirit indwells in all who believe in Jesus. In John chapter 7, Jesus said, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Didn't he talk about that living water with the woman at the well? This he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet, I'm reading from scripture now, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. That comes from John chapter 7. They were to receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. It hadn't been given at the time that Jesus spoke about it. And we know that there are spiritual gifts that we get through the Holy Spirit and so forth. And we know that we are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in us. But that was the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can't live this Christian life without that gift. You need the power and the strength that comes from God through the Holy Spirit, who is indwelling us. That's how we have that connection with Jesus, through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do the work of Christ without the power of the Spirit of God giving us the ability. He gives gifts to all men. Gifts of being pastors and teachers, missionaries, whatever we're going to do in life, in service to God. We all work together as a body under the head, Jesus Christ. But we must do it in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. These timely gifts in conclusion bring to us some eternal joy this Christmas season and forever and forever and forever. And we can certainly thank God for these timeless gifts that we talked about in this message, the gift of God's Son, the gift of grace, the gift of eternal life, the gift of the Holy Spirit. But that knowledge in itself, my friends, is not enough to have a personal relationship with God. Just knowing about the gift of God will not give you eternal life. This has to be personal. Remember back in John 17, Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that you may know, that may know you, the only true God. This is eternal life, that they, you and me, may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." You have to have a relationship and to know God personally in order to have this eternal life. That's what we need to know and understand. Because it's not just that Jesus was born in a manger, but that he was sent into this world for the purpose, as was told to Mary, to save sinners, and that everybody is included in that. It's true that he was born as a babe in Bethlehem, but his purpose, the purpose of that birth was that he would die and rise again. John 3:16, to close it out, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. But you must believe on Jesus Christ. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. If you have never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, never believed on him, confess your sins before him, do that right now. Do that right now. Let us pray.